praise the Lord, you are destined to win. God spoke to me in August of 1980 and said, to proclaim the word of faith, be a showcase of ministries, and train people to fulfill the word of God. The message that you're about to hear was recorded in a live meeting where the Lord used me to teach the uncompromising word of faith. So open your heart to receive the ministry of the word of God today, and you will be changed, empowered, and motivated to fulfill the word of God in your life.
All righty, praise the Lord. Well, like I said, if I get a little draggy tonight, just chalk it up to a night of fighting the good fight in the computer world. Oh, my. Amen. But they did not prevail. That's the big thing. We win. Let's see. Let's go ahead and pray and get started, and we'll take up the offering at the end. Father, we thank you for this opportunity we have to come together once again and receive from your word. We thank you, Father, that the Holy Spirit is the teacher, and so we just give him leave to speak to us and through us. And Father, I just believe that the things that we're going to get into tonight will be a benefit and be blessing to the folks that see it and hear it, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's go to the book of Jude. Good old Jude. One chapter, so it's easy to say the first chapter of Jude because there's only one. But pastor's been teaching about the baptism of the Holy Ghost, speaking in other tongues, and he went by this scripture, and every time, you know, that happens, it's amazing. I'll get something like that, and then I'll just latch on to it and study it out, and it's just kind of was a side thing, you know, for what he was getting into, but it ends up being a really good study for me when I get into it and study it out. So we're going to look at Jude verse 20, talking to believers here. He says, but ye, beloved, so that is talking to Christians, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. And I know a lot of people, including myself in my much younger days, that somehow just saw that and read it as building myself up or building up my faith by praying in the Holy Ghost. Okay? And that's not what it says. It says that we build ourselves up on our most holy faith, which is very different than building your faith. Faith, we know, comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God, Romans 10, 17. So you don't get faith by praying in the Holy Ghost, but you do get built up. And so in studying this out, as I begin to look at it, the word building here is talking really about building in the sense of charging up is one sense of it. Another is to, I like this one, stone upon stone, building higher and higher. I kind of like that definition. Stone upon stone, building and higher and higher. So in other words, think of ourselves with regard to our faith as a building that you start at the foundation, you build stone upon stone, and you build it up, and it becomes a strong tower. Well, that's how we build ourselves up, by praying in the Holy Ghost. Now, the thing is, a lot of people don't see that as that much of a benefit. You know, I mean, I was raised Southern Baptist. I didn't know anything about tongues. Never heard of it. Matter of fact, I was pretty sure it wasn't in the Bible. You know, and the first time I heard it preached was November 10th, 1973, and I was at a Full Gospel Businessmen's Convention, and I didn't go on purpose. I had visited a friend in Raleigh who had a friend that came from Boone, and that friend said, hey, you want to go to a Christian meeting? Well, hey, I was all about being a Christian. You know, I was good Southern Baptist, and so I said, a Christian meeting? Sure, that sounds great. Well, I had no idea what a, you know, Full Gospel Businessmen's meeting was. So I got there, and George Otis was speaking. George Otis was he's a great speaker, but he's also a scientist who worked on the NASA moon program. And so he caught my attention right away. He was talking my language with all the high-tech space stuff. But he used that just to introduce himself. And then he got into the Word, and he went line upon line. He went through the Word of God, and I mean, he talked about the baptism of the Holy Ghost and speaking in other tongues, and I was just sitting there going, who put that in my Bible? Because I'm following along. And you know, one thing about Baptists, you probably heard Brother Hagin talk about, you know, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. That's a good old Baptist saying. And I've talked about before how it's really more like God said it, that settles it. And we get the benefit of believing it. You know, we get a benefit if we agree with God. But Baptists are great on believing that they believe the Bible. And so that's where I was at. I said, you know, if it's in the Bible, it's got to be true. Well, he's showing all these scriptures from the Word. I'm seeing it out of my own Bible, my King James 1611 Bible. And I'm like, where did all this come from? I've never heard anybody teach on baptism of the Holy Ghost. What's the Holy Ghost? I mean, I had no idea because I'd never heard it. And then speaking in tongues, well, I mean, you might as well have just been mumbling something, you know. I had no idea what it even meant. So he went through, he explained it, and at the end of the message, also the Happy Hunters were there too. If you ever heard of Charles and Francis Hunter, the Happy Hunters, you got to go way back to the 60s and 70s, but they were a husband-wife team who sang and ministered and in the Word and so forth. They were there as well. Of course, I didn't know who they were then. Found out later. But so, you know, it was a big thing. And there was at least 1,000-plus people there in this big, you know, hotel conference center thing. And I was young. And so we gave the young kids, gave their seats up so the adults could sit, you know, because we ran out of seats. So I'm sitting in the floor, and I'm listening to all this. And he says, now, if you want to receive this baptism of the Holy Ghost, then just stand up. Well, I scrambled to my feet and got up. And he had said, now, pray this prayer. So I prayed the prayer with him. And he said, now, open up your mouth, begin to speak in other tongues. Well, I opened up my mouth, and these words came out. I had no idea what that was all about. As a matter of fact, in the back of my mind, while my mouth's a-going, the back of my mind, I thought, what in the world have you got yourself into? Oh, my goodness, this must be a cult. You know, I mean, just crazy things you think about. And so all of this was going on. And I knew, because I felt like power hit my head and went all the way through my body down to my toes. And, you know, I staggered around. If I'd have known what was going on, I'd have gone out into the fire. But I didn't. I stood there and kept it as upright as I could, you know. And so after it was all over with, I turned to this friend of my friend, and I said, do you have a sheet of paper with all those scriptures he used? Oh, yeah. So he gets out of his Bible, and he pulls out this sheet, and it's the Baptism of the Holy Ghost study sheet. Yeah, he was ready. So I took it, put it in my Bible, went home, and studied all those scriptures out. And, of course, immediately had the opportunity to speak at my First Baptist Church. And the pastor was always letting me preach and everything. So I came up to him. I said, hey, pastor, can I take the Sunday night service? Oh, yeah, Brother Bill, go for it. So I got up and preached on the baptism of the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues and gave an invitation. And a bunch of ladies came down to the front to receive, you know. I mean, I'm a high school kid. You know, they're coming down for me to lay hands on them. And the pastor's going, take them in the back. Take them in the back. He didn't want me ministering to them out front. So we went in the back room and Sunday school room, and I prayed for them. They received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So it was quite a time. But the pastor, bless his heart, of course, the next Sunday, he had to preach how I was all of the devil and how I'd got off into some heresy because it's of the devil. And he gave me tracts and books and all that. And I was confused because, I mean, I really respected this guy. He was a missionary to Brazil and just a sweet guy. And, you know, I thought, what am I doing? Did I get off in something? And maybe this is a cult, you know. But it took some time, and it took exposure to the Word, and that sheet of paper became like a lifeline. I held on to that, and I read those scriptures over and over and over again. And needless to say, over time, I found out that they were wrong and the Word's right, which, you know, we should have known that to start with. But at any rate, because of my background, I didn't really see a benefit or need of speaking in tongues other than is something you did when you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And I didn't think much about it until I read this scripture many years ago, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Well, I knew enough to know that 1 Corinthians chapter 14, Paul said that praying in the Holy Ghost is speaking in tongues. So there's something about speaking in tongues that I missed, you know, basically. So I started studying it out, and I went over to Isaiah and saw that it was a rest for the people of God. And I said, okay, it's a rest, but it also builds you up. I knew that building up was like charging a battery. So I'm like, okay, if you rest and recharge, that kind of makes sense. But I mean, you think about a cell phone. You recharge the cell phone. And as I was meditating on this, driving over here tonight, something really struck me. I thought, you know, if you're going to get an important call, you keep your cell phone charged. And I thought, ooh, that'll preach. Amen. In other words, if we're going to get an important call from the Lord, we need to stay charged up. We need to keep the battery fresh. Top it off, as it were. So we need to keep ourselves, because that's what it's talking about, keep ourselves built up, charged, because we have a mission here on the earth. And that mission is even more critical in these last days. Let's go back a little earlier in this book of Jude. Verse 3, let's look at that. Beloved, again, talking to Christians, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith, which was once delivered unto the saints. Now, it seems to me, just this is my observation, it seems to me that there is a problem with Christians today believing they need to contend for the faith. You know, there's a kind of a ooey-gooey, wishy-washy, lovey-dovey kind of attitude of, well, my brother, you just believe what you believe, and I'll believe what I believe, and that's okay. You're not contending for the faith. Now, you know, I tend to be a contender of the faith. When I was in, telling stories of myself here, when I was in college, I was working on an art degree, but my main degree was basically the Word, because I had a cassette deck that I had on my belt, you know, like a almost like a holster for a gun. You know, I had a cassette deck there. It's one of those little guys. And it was sitting there, and I had a mic jack, or not a mic, a headphone jack, run up into my ear. And so I'd be sitting in my art class, and I'd be painting and doing whatever I'm doing, but I'd be listening to Brother Copeland preach, or Brother Hagin preach, and I'm getting an education on faith while I'm in college. And so I spent most of my time hearing the Word, and I spent most of my time getting charged up on the Word. And so I did get, you know, when you're young and dumb, you get to do some young and dumb things. And so we had people on campus that were promoting Ekinkar, which is a cult. And there's other, it's kind of weird Buddhist kind of, I don't know, it's a mess. But they were really promoting this. They had posters everywhere. Well, I thought to myself, I think I'll go get a rubber stamp made. So I got a big 6-inch rubber stamp that in big bold letters said garbage with an exclamation point on it. And I would go around campus and go boom, 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 boom. And I would cover those signs with garbage. So I was a bit of a character. Particularly if you'd have seen me. Back in those days, my hair was longer and bushier. I had a leather hat that had a brim that came around with a feather sticking out of the top. And I had a leather band around my hat band that said, Ichthus, Maranatha, Jesus is Lord, all the way around the hat band. And I wore overalls. And the overalls had patches all over them. Jesus is Lord, Jesus is coming soon, Maranatha. I had these patches all over me. And then I had this big coat that I wore. And then I had my Bible on a sheath on one side and the cassette deck on the other side. And big old motorcycle boots. And I was a sight coming down the road. I mean, these people parted company and let me by. when they saw me. So I was well known around campus for some reason. But at any rate, I was a bit wild. And got a little worse when I joined the Full Gospel Student Fellowship and became director of evangelism. So we did all kinds of cool things for a college campus. We went out and bought a whole bunch of Christian books. And during the time when people were buying their books at the bookstore and they were griping and complaining about the price of college books, we would give away Christian books at a table that was set up near the bookstore. And people would come by, we'd have big signs that said, free books. Well, they'd come over to look because they're thinking college books, you know. Well, they'd come over, we had all these books, speaking in tongues, healing, all kinds of stuff. And they're all like, what? But we gave away a lot of books, got talked to a lot of people, got to do some evangelism. We're always doing things like that. We had concerts. We just had a lot going on. And so eventually I came up with a Christian newsletter, which we distributed in all the bathroom stalls. That was our thing. We figure they're sitting there. They don't have anything to read. So we'll provide something for them to read. And so it was called a Sunshine Newsletter. And they had that newsletter. We had a friend of mine did a little cartoon called the Maharishi Keep On Truckin' Swift. And he would espouse all these Eckankar-like weird things, you know. And he would say that, you know, the best way to find wisdom is to stare at your belly button and meditate and all this kind of stuff. This was all in the comic strip. And then at the end, somebody would come in and give him the scripture that said, thinking to themselves, wise, they became as fools and all this kind of stuff. So we just were in your face, pretty much. We contended for the faith. So I kind of come out of that background. I don't have any problem standing up and go, wait a minute, stick my finger up and say, let's look at what the Bible says, you know. So I do tend to contend for the faith, unlike a lot of folks that I deal with that are kind of, they're not too sure if you should do that. At any rate, contending for the faith, for there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness. And I saw that as I was meditating on all this, and I said, you know, that's exactly where we're at. There are people that are turning grace, which I call greasy grace teaching into lasciviousness. Now, lasciviousness is a long word, King James kind of word, but all it means is an individual that is consumed with lust, only looking out for themselves, wanting to enjoy sensual pleasures. Okay, that's lascivious, when you are just looking at, number one, yourself, and you just want to enjoy all those pleasures. Well, they're taking the grace of God and twisting it and making it, turning it into lasciviousness. And if you think about that, that's what the grace teaching really is all about. I can do whatever I want to do. I can enjoy myself, which is where the lasciviousness comes in. And it's okay with God because Jesus did it all for us, and I don't have to actually obey the Word of God. I can just live under grace. And that's kind of the way the teaching goes. Well, it says here, these were ungodly men turning the grace of God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed all them that believed not. So, you know, their last estate does not seem real good if they're twisting grace into lasciviousness. But anyway, the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, hath reserved an everlasting chains unto darkness, unto the judgment of the great day, even as Sodom and Gomorrah, and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to, here's lasciviousness, fornication, going after strange flesh, that's homosexuality, and are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion. And that's a good King James term that basically says they despise authority. They do not like people being in authority over them. And speak evil of dignities. Again, King James, we'll take it out of King James. They are determined to speak evil of those who are in authority. You know, and I think about what the world's doing with people that are in authority today, whether it's policemen or whether it's teachers or others that are in a position of authority, and yet people despise them, tear them down, think ill of them. The police are getting bombarded with milk and all kinds of crazy stuff going on because they despise authority. They despise dignitaries. We think of a dignitary as, you know, some fancy, well-dressed person that, you know, maybe like in the old Disney movies, he does the person at the ball, they come in with a sweeping dress and all that as a dignitary. But really, it's just someone who's in authority, somebody that's in a position that we should be giving due respect. And those are people that are certainly not in high esteem these days. So this mindset, the fornication, the going after strange flesh, all of these things, we're seeing in the headlines. We're seeing in the news. There are people now who are beginning to teach homosexuality in the early grades as an alternative lifestyle that they need to be exposed to in case they are going in that direction and they need to be reinforced and made to feel that it's okay and all this kind of stuff. So we're going to teach them all these things. Well, you know, if you didn't teach them, they wouldn't get off into it. You know, we're a product of what we are exposed to. And, you know, I personally, because my father was Southern Baptist, my mom, Southern Baptist, raised at a Southern Baptist orphanage, grew up in a Southern Baptist church, I never even tasted beer. I never had any kind of strong drink. It was just, I was never exposed to it. I never desired it. I never thought, ooh, I'd like to try that. I mean, it never occurred to me. Now, Dad did smoke. You know, the deacons would get out between services, Sunday school and church, and they'd all smoke. It's like this big ring of folks with fire, you know, smoke coming out. And I'm like, I don't understand this, because the back of the Baptist hymnal has the requirements that it says you're not supposed to smoke, but they all did. So, you know, I was exposed to that, and because I was exposed to it, I stole some cigarettes from Dad, and I went down to the creek bank, and I smoked me a cigarette, and turned green, and about threw up, and I took those cigarettes and wadded them up and threw them into the creek. And then I got back home, and Dad said, "Boy, did you steal some cigarettes?" And I went, "Yes, sir." And he said, "Smoke them if you want to, but don't steal them. If you want smoke, you come to me and ask." I went, "Yes, sir." And I never did. I never did it again. So, you know, that's the thing. Whatever you're exposed to. Certainly, smoking was not good for me. Certainly, I didn't enjoy it. You know, but I saw it, so I thought, I got to try it. And that's the way it is. Unfortunately, the world is teaching sin. And they're making it look good. I mean, now on TV, you got all these stories where they're elevating the people that are homosexuals and are in homosexual relationships. They're the good guys. The bad guys are the ones that look over at them and go, "Oh, you guys aren't right. You know, those are evil people." And so our mindset is being shaped by what we see. And that's the thing. We need to realize that this is going on, particularly in the last days. I think it's interesting that he said that the apostles wrote to you and told you it was going to be this way. Let's go over and read some of that. Let's start in verse 16. "There are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts," which is what we're talking about, "and their mouths speaking great swelling words," making it sound good, "having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. But, beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you that there should be mockers in the last time," or the last days. That's where we're living. We're in the last of the last days. "And there will come those who are mockers," and literally are mocking things that are good and right and correct. They're mocking Christianity. They're mocking the Word. They're mocking God. And they're making it sound like, "Oh, yeah, that's old thinking. We need to get rid of all of that. And so they're mocking it. And they walk after their own ungodly lust. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. Sensual and having not the Spirit. This is where verse 20 comes in. All of that setup is necessary to really understand what he's talking about. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. I think because of where we're at and what we're living and what we're seeing and what we're exposed to, that's a good reason for us to be praying in the Holy Ghost. Be building ourselves up on our most holy faith. Be developing our spirit sense so that we're not pulled away by mental reasoning. See, they're speaking great swelling words. They sound, you can almost listen to a lot of things that the world is saying, and it sounds like it's probably going in the right direction because we've heard it, we've been exposed to it, but it is a rationale. It's a worldview that is completely contrary to the Word of God. And the only way to keep ourselves in line with the Word, first thing is to stay in the Word, meditate on it, read it, and get into it. But the other way is to pray in the Holy Ghost. Because as we pray in the Holy Ghost, we build up ourselves on our most holy faith. We keep ourselves close to the Lord, and we're not swayed by these people that are sensual, having not the Spirit, that are mocking and trying to pull us away from the faith. Keep yourselves, verse 21, keep yourselves in the love of God. I think it's interesting that he says, pray in the Holy Ghost, keep yourself in the love of God. Praying in the Holy Ghost deepens your love walk. Now that's something that a lot of people don't get. Praying in the Holy Ghost deepens your love walk. And there's a lot of people, I've talked to people who are, you know, again, coming from Southern Baptist background, you know, oh, they're Pentecostals. They're just so full of themselves. They don't love people. Well, the people that I have met in my life, the most loving, kind people are people that are Spirit-filled. Yeah. They are people that pray in the Holy Ghost regularly. They minister with compassion. Recently, I was at a meeting down in Concord. We had the Word of Faith radio rally. And Jesse Duplantis was down there. And of course, he was, you know, as usual, he was funny and he had a lot of fun things to talk about and say. But toward the end of the message, he got serious. And he began to minister. And he had a word that there were people there, women there, that had had abortions. And he very lovingly and kindly and mercifully encouraged them to come forward. Well, you know, you're in a Christian meeting surrounded by Christians and you're in a church, probably some of these folks, and yet they had abortions. They had like 20 or 30 women come down to admit, yes, they'd had an abortion, and Brother Jesse was able to minister to them and encourage them and get them to understand that the first person they're going to see in heaven is going to be that baby. And they were crying and just being ministered to. And I'm looking back. I'm back in the back running the sound and the video and everything else helps ministry. And I'm kind of overlooking the thing because I'm up on a platform. And I'm looking out over it and I thought, wow, there's not many people who would call out folks like that that had an abortion. Or if they did, they would feel like they're under condemnation. But there was no condemnation. There was only compassion, there was only love, there was only acceptance, because it was in God. He said very clearly, what was done was wrong. What was done was not under, you know, God's auspices at all, but God forgives, God restores. And God wants you to know that basically if you repent of this, He will restore you, He will strengthen you, and you'll see your child in heaven. And it was an amazing time of ministry. It was moving with compassion in such a way that it was, you know, if I had to orchestrate it, it could have been orchestrated any better. It was just amazing to watch the Holy Spirit move. But we keep ourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Now, last time, I believe it was last time that I taught on Wednesday night, I taught about the mercies of God. And I was talking about God's healing mercies, God's mercies with regard to finances, God's mercies with regard to all these different aspects of our life. We are a spirit, we have a soul, we live in a body. We deal with social situations, we deal with people. God has a mercy or an area of mercy for all of those areas of life. And it says here, keeping ourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. I think we ought to look for mercy. We ought to be ready for mercy. You know, I mean, I talk about, you know, how I was healed, how I got out of the hospital. They told me I had a week to live. That was a healing mercy. You know, I mean, I didn't quote unquote deserve it in and of myself. You know, it wasn't me. It was God. It was all Him. Jesus bore my sicknesses. He carried my diseases. I didn't need to carry them. And so I was healed by the mercies of God. I was healed by His healing mercies. We ought to be looking for that. Unto eternal life. And of some have compassion, making a difference. Others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. He's talking here again about people who have fallen into sin, people who have gotten away from the truths of God's word, and now their garments are spotted by the flesh, by the sin that they've committed. Unto Him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. So whatever your state was, you can come out of it with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. As they say, the doxology of the book. Get theological. But the thing is, all of this to me indicates that we're not appreciating the tools that God's given us. One of those tools is praying in the Holy Ghost. One of those tools is to make use of that. You know, I mean, I'm driving over here tonight and I'm meditating on all this and thinking about what the Lord's been showing me about some of these things. The whole time I'm praying in the Holy Ghost as I'm driving. So, you know, here I am, my body's driving the car, my mind's engaged to a certain point on that. I'm thinking about what I'm going to be teaching on, and yet here I am praying in the Holy Ghost. You can do that. It's almost like spiritual multitasking, you know, to get computer-wise here. You know, spiritual multitasking. You can be praying something out. We know that when we pray in the Holy Ghost, we're speaking mysteries to God. So you can be praying something out. You can be maybe interceding for somebody while you're being built up on your most holy faith, while you're keeping yourself in the love of God, and be doing all these other things at the same time. Whoa, that's efficient. You know, and the whole time it is rest to the people of God. And yet, as it says in Isaiah, yet they would not hear. There's a whole lot of folks that don't hear or don't receive the fact that speaking in tongues is a benefit to give you rest, is a benefit to keep you in the love of God, is a benefit to build yourself up on your most holy faith. We've got to major more on the spiritual side. And that's one reason that I'm so excited about the things that Pastor's been teaching about the baptism of the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues, spiritual gifts, ministry in the Spirit, all of these things. I see it as preparing us for a place, preparing us for where we're headed. And we know we've got great days ahead. Not that the days we're in aren't great, but I'm saying we got some great things ahead. We got a new building coming. We got all this debt being paid off. We got all these things happening. Things are falling into place. And if we continue in the Word and we build ourselves up on our most holy faith, we'll be in a position, like I said, keep the battery charged. So when you get the important call from the Lord, now's your time to step out. Now's your time to do what God's called you to do. You're ready. You're charged. The energy's there. The power is there. The love of God is surrounding you. You're looking for the mercies of God. You're ready to move in the direction that God has for us. And that's what I saw in this, that's what I wanted to get across tonight, is that all of these things that God's showing us is toward an end. It's toward where He wants us to be. We as believers need to be walking in the believer's ministry. I had a message I taught back in 1982, I believe it was, called The Believer's Ministry, Teaching, Preaching, and Healing. Talking about, you know, in Jesus' ministry, that was the primary thing He did when He went from place to place. Teaching, preaching, and healing. And a lot of people say, yeah, but you know, Dr. Bill, I'm not a full-time minister. You know, how am I going to be teaching, preaching, and healing? You'd be surprised. In your day-to-day life, you have all kinds of opportunities to teach that little word, to just interject something that will strike people's thinking, to maybe preach to some people who need to hear what the Word of God says on a given topic or subject, and then to lay hands on the sick and watch folks recover. Teaching, preaching, and healing is something that is not limited just to ministers that are full-time ministers or pastors or teachers or whatever. All believers are in the ministry of reconciliation. I mean, that's what 2 Corinthians chapter 5 talks about. We're in the ministry of reconciliation, and that ministry of reconciliation is to wit or to know that we are to tell the world they have been reconciled to God. See, we don't often really fully think about and understand Jesus going to the cross was for all men. And the Scripture says that it is God's desire, His will, that all men be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. Now, will all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth? Well, no. But He's done it for them all. They need to understand that it's done. It's a done deal if they'll just receive it. So our ministry is to go out and tell them that God's already done the hard work. He's done the heavy lifting, you know. All they've got to do is receive what Jesus has already done for them. And all we have to do is share that. Be ministers of that reconciliation. God reconciled the world to Himself through His Son, Jesus Christ. We tell them that. That's our ministry of reconciliation. Some people would call it witnessing. Some people would call it soul winning. There's all kinds of terms for it, but it's our responsibility to get the message out. And you know, there's all kinds of ways to do it. You can go on TV, you can go on radio, you can write books, you can do all these things, and a lot of people are doing that, but you can also just do it one-on-one, you know, as you have opportunity. Your friend comes to you and it is crying and distraught and something has happened in their family. You can just have that kind word. You can minister peace to them. If they have a situation maybe requiring healing or whatever, you can lay hands on them, believe God with them to be healed. There's tons of opportunities to function in the believer's ministry. And I think and I believe that God is setting us up for that as a body. He's teaching us, He's directing us, He's instructing us of how we could go out and do what He's called us to do. And that's really, I think, the kind of the point of where I was headed tonight, is to see that God's equipped us. I mean, baptism of the Holy Ghost in and of itself, Jesus said, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. So we know it's to empower us. We know it's to empower us to witness, to minister. So we need to lean to that. You know, there's an old sailing term, lean into it. You know, we lean into our calling. We lean into what God's asking us to do, and He will empower us and He'll give us opportunity. You know, never say there's no opportunity. There's always an opportunity. Every time you turn the corner, every time you speak to somebody, there's an opportunity. I mean, you know, I was telling y'all about how we went up to Virginia to, they had called and said that Belinda's dad was basically going to die that day. And they said, you know, if you want to see him, you come on up now. You know, they're getting all the family together. Well, they came together. Everybody's crying. He's laid in bed, can't talk, can't move. You know, the doctor said he's not going to make it through the night. And they just turned to me, because I was there, and said, Brother Bill, will you pray? Well, I kind of went, well, what do you want me to pray? I mean, that's what I'm thinking. And Belinda actually saw my hesitation, and she said, I think, because she's a member of the family, She said, I think he's wanting to know what you want to pray, you know, and are you wanting to send him off or are you wanting to be healed? Well, of course, given that choice, they said, oh, well, to be healed. Okay, so I prayed. I prayed that the mercies of healing mercies would be ministered to him. We begin to speak the word to him, give him scripture. And next day we went in, he wasn't dead. He was getting stronger. And then it wasn't but a few days after that, he went home and he's at home now. You know, and just completely recovered. You know, he's still got some issues that he's dealing with, but completely recovered from that point of death. Well, I had no plan to minister in that fashion. I didn't go up there thinking I'm going to raise him up, you know, from a deathbed. That was not my purpose in a sense. I was just a member of the family wanting to come up there. They'd called us in. But they gave me an opportunity. So if you see the opportunity, take it, because it can change things around. And it's amazing, that whole family began to turn around, begin to speak positively, begin to speak, he's coming out of here. You know, they begin to look at what was happening toward the good rather than, I mean, they literally had gone and talked to the VA about whether or not they'd cover his burial. They were in the process of doing that. And so now, instead of burying him, he's at home and he's doing fine there, you know. So we can change things by being there and being available is kind of my point. Just be the one. You know, Dr. Gene Bailey on Kenneth Copeland's Victory Network has a program called Revival Radio TV. And on that program, his whole theme is be the one. Be the one that God can use. Just look for opportunity. Just be available. And God will use you if you're open to being used. And you can be the one, maybe not the one for your whole generation, but the one for your family, the one for your group that you minister to or whatever, that you have opportunity to really influence. So, if the world's going to try to influence us to the negative, let's influence the world to the positive. Let's get them pulled back in to the Word of God. Amen? Praise the Lord. Well, I trust you enjoyed it tonight. Just kind of some thoughts to meditate on. Let's go ahead and, I guess, just let y'all know about the offering. I encourage you to use the Square Cash. You know, I think, what is it, Dollar Faith and Victory? Is that it? Or Faith Victory. Faith Victory Church, right. You know, you can contribute that way or through donations at fvc.org, through PayPal, all kinds of opportunities. So I encourage you to do that and just take advantage of, you know, hey, we're believing to get out of debt. We're getting closer and closer and closer. Every Sunday I come in, that number gets smaller and smaller, you know. And it's kind of fun because, you know, Jesse sends the thing to us and I get it and cut it out of the PDF and make it an image that Belinda can put into the slideshow, and we do a little rejoicing over it right then, you know, before we even get to church. So it's fun seeing what God's doing. He is moving supernaturally to get us out of debt as a church, and that's great. And I'm believing it's going to get us out of debt individually as well. Those of us that have financial needs, that's going to be seed toward that. So praise the Lord. I think we've got, like I say, we're being set up. We're being set up for some great things down the road. Praise the Lord. So, trust you enjoyed it, as I said. And sorry I'm a little tired from rescuing all the websites, including Faith and Victory site. But we overcame, hallelujah. So we'll go ahead and be dismissed. Hallelujah.
I trust that you receive from the ministry of the Word of God today. If you'd like to contact me, you may write me at Dr. Bill Bailey, Word of Faith Ministries, P.O. Box 5213-5213, High Point, North Carolina, 27262. Or you may email me at this address, Dr. Bill, D-R-B-I-L-L, at WOFM.org. If God speaks to your heart about supporting our ministry financially, or you would like to receive more teaching messages from the Word of God, Check out our website at www.wofm.org. I believe and agree with you for the full 100-fold return on your giving. I also believe and know that God is richly blessing you and your family every day in every way. Praise God, you are blessed and highly favored.